Well, I'd like to invite you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles again, to the book of 2 Corinthians this morning. If you want a Bible and you don't have one either this morning or at all, we do have some Bibles on the back cart that you're welcome to grab, follow along. Or as I've said already, you can follow along with the screen that will be behind me. We have a lot going on in this service this morning, and we don't have, therefore, a lot of time to spend in this passage that I've chosen. So this morning's sermon is going to be an abbreviated but hopefully sufficient amount of time to simply begin to consider and reflect upon again the implications of Jesus Christ rising from the grave, of this absolutely incredible news that we have just sung about and that we gather to celebrate this morning. So my hope is to say nothing novel, nothing particularly new, but rather just to simply proclaim the historical reality of Jesus of Nazareth risen from the grave. News that is so powerful, that is so profound, that it changes everything in our lives, or at least ought to. And I know as I was reflecting on this week, I don't think enough about the resurrection. I suspect you don't think enough about the resurrection. And so we're going to do that this morning. We're jumping into the middle of Paul's correspondence to this ancient church in Corinth, where he's talking about his ministry, he's talking about his life as an apostle. And so we're kind of inserting ourselves in the mid-conversation, which is okay. We're actually going to be jumping around the Bible this morning, reading many different passages, particularly from the New Testament. And so I don't want to unpack this passage like I would normally do, kind of looking at particular words. I just really want to hone in on a couple phrases and one phrase in particular that will become evident to you. And so if you're able, it's our tradition here at Ascension for you to stand for the reading of God's word out of honor for him and his word, his preached word. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Listen as I read. Paul says, "Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." Now here's the key phrase. "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please go ahead and be seated. You and I live in a broken and messy world. A world of tragedy, a world of heartbreak. This happens on a global scale. It happens to each of you on a personal level. I don't need to tell you this, I know. But as a follower of Jesus, as a minister of the gospel, there is a response to these things by the world that really irks me. I may have told some of you at Ascension this before, but you hear it from news reporters at times. You hear it from your next door neighbor at times. It may be in the aftermath of a school shooting or in the aftermath of some national disaster or a cancer diagnosis. And this phrase is said, "Our thoughts and well wishes are with everyone affected. Our thoughts and well wishes are with everyone affected. Every time I hear that, I say, thoughts? Well wishes? What is that? What are they? When life stinks, I don't want thoughts. I don't want well wishes. I want something real. I want something that brings me comfort and hope. I want something to help me not lose heart. We do not lose heart, Paul says. It's his confession on behalf of the apostles, of which he is one. It's a confession that applies to every circumstance of his life. And here's the thing. Paul says this not as a pie in the sky, well wishes kind of thing. It's a confession that's grounded in the historical reality of the resurrection. That's what he says here in this passage. An event that was prophesied for thousands of years in the Jewish scriptures, that was prophesied and spoken of by Jesus for weeks and months prior. It was an event that transformed lives such as Peter and the 12 and James and then finally Paul himself, 500, who Jesus appeared to after the resurrection. I mean, these are the men and women upon whom the church was built. It was their fervor for what they saw with their own eyes that fueled the expansion of Christianity, that fueled the expansion of the church. The Apostle Paul begins his first letter, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes. I love thinking about the origins of the early church. Because Paul and others like him, they put all of their eggs in this basket. In the basket of the resurrection. It was because of the resurrection that they were willing to go to their deaths for what they believed. Never recanting. Because it was true. And they knew it was true. Pastor Tim Keller writes, it's not enough to simply believe Jesus did not rise from the dead. You must then come up with a historically feasible alternate explanation for the birth of a church. You see, here we are 2,000 years after Jesus has raised from the dead, and this small Middle Eastern movement is now a global phenomenon. What can account for that? Only the resurrection. And it's this reality that drives Paul to say with confidence in whatever he's going through, we do not lose heart. And it's what I want us to hear this morning, whatever you're going through. Three brief encouragements. Each of these could be a sermon in and of itself. We're not going to spend a lot of time. We're just going to blow through them really quickly. The first one is this. Don't lose heart. Because Jesus is alive, you can be right with God. Don't lose heart. Because Jesus is alive, you can be right with God. I don't know all of you in this room. Maybe some of you sitting here are not right with God. We live in a world who wants to be right with God. Muslims blow themselves up to be right with God. Hindus, through ritual, through sacrifice, through all sorts of things, tirelessly seek to appease their gods in order that they might be right with God. Even the secularist, Essentially, he makes a God out of himself. He wants to be right with himself. He thinks that his or her goodness will be okay. It will be enough for them in the end, whatever the end brings. I proclaim to you this morning that Jesus of Nazareth, while he was on alive on earth, he said some outlandish things, that he was one with God the Father, that he had the authority to forgive sins, that he was the only way to the Father, and then he died. Just like many like him who said outlandish things and then they died. So that should have been the end of Jesus of Nazareth's claims. But it wasn't. And why wasn't it? Because he was raised from the dead. Because Jesus, through his resurrection, proved that all the words he said about how to be right with God through him and through him alone were true. And that his sacrifice for sin, as he died voluntarily on that Roman cross, was accepted. Listen to Romans 1:14. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, born in a manger. We all remember that story. And was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Brothers and sisters, this means that Jesus is God's receipt, that everything is paid in full. All of your sin, past, present, and future, all who trust in that sacrifice are right with God. We focus so much on the cross. And rightfully so. So many in our culture wear them around their necks. But Paul actually states in Romans that Jesus was raised that we might be right with God. Romans 4:25, it will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up and raised for our justification. So the first reason that you not lose heart is that your sins can be forgiven, that you can have peace with God by believing on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. It's the gospel. It's what draws us here every week. It's what we need to preach to ourselves every day. But there's another encouragement. Don't lose heart. Because Jesus is alive, you too will be raised. You too will be raised. You see, another thing that irks me about the world sometimes is this: the world's vague notion of heaven, of what lies after death. It's based upon nothing. It's just wishful thinking. In contrast, the Christian has verse 14. He who raised Jesus will raise us. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You see, the reality of our own resurrection for the church throughout the centuries, and for us who sit here, is the anchor for our souls. We don't need to look at death with fear. If we're right with God, and if the resurrection is true, because Christ has been raised, he is the first fruits of our resurrection. New minds, new hearts, new bodies, new existence awaits all of us. And it's what allows us to sing at funerals, to smile in the face of death. Not because we're treating it glibly or lightly, not because we have this wishful thinking about what lies beyond, but because we have the resurrection, and because Jesus promised in John 6, I should lose nothing of all that the Father has given them, me, but I will raise them up on the last day. And it's this kind of resurrection hope, our own resurrection hope, that ought to still us in the waves of our lives. Maybe you're here this morning and it does just the opposite. Maybe it needs to. Because if you don't know Jesus, if the resurrection is not an anchor for you, then the open tomb promises not wonderful resurrection into his presence, but it promises his judgment. This is what Paul proclaimed in Acts 17. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. Of this, he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. It's another prod, it's another encouragement to be made right with him. The story is told of the 19th century English scientist Sir Michael Faraday, and he was dying, and some journalists asked him what his speculations were for life after death. World-renowned chemist, physicist, and he said this, "Speculations? I know nothing of speculations. I am resting on certainties. I know that my Redeemer lives, and because he lives, I will live also." That's good news. Don't lose heart, because Jesus is alive, you too will be raised. And then finally, don't lose heart, Jesus is alive, your troubles have purpose. Simply put, everything matters. Life has meaning. Even in the hard times in our lives, Paul says to the church, he says to you and I this morning, that Christ is molding us, Christ is shaping us. Verse 16, we are being renewed every day. Our outward bodies may be wasting away, but there's something going on inward that is wonderful, that is beautiful. And then Paul adds this phrase, this contrast, light momentary affliction and eternal weight of glory. Paul is speaking of every hard thing we go through in our lives, every pain, every loss, every hurt, every trial. And he says they're all light and momentary. And we immediately respond, that's kind of jerky, Paul, because you don't know what my life has been like. It's actually been pretty hard. But then we look at Paul's life and we read the kind of things that Paul went through and we're like, well, Paul, you actually knew suffering. Paul knew way more heartache and way more suffering. He's not belittling your suffering. He's saying that even the kind of suffering that he went through is momentary and it's light compared to the eternal weight of glory. Whatever you're going through this morning, don't lose heart, because Jesus is working on you. He is alive. And he's using every trouble, every heartache in your life for the good of those who love him. And so what do we do? What do we do? Well, this is where the passage ends, verse 18. We look to the unseen. We do what I said we don't do enough of at the beginning of this sermon. We think about the resurrection. We don't get trapped in the here and now. We don't get trapped in the temporary and everything that's going to be eventually gone. But we spend some time fixing our gaze on the reality of the unseen. And though we don't see Jesus in the flesh, we know He is alive and He is risen. And though all we might feel is pain in our lives in certain seasons, we know, we trust that because He's alive, He's making all things right. Hebrews 11 tells us faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. People of faith, this is how we are called to live, to stare, to gaze, to keep our attention to the unseen. Don't lose heart, because Jesus is risen. And because Jesus is alive, our sins are forgiven. Because Jesus is alive, you too will be raised in newness of life to be with Him. And because Jesus is alive, whatever you're going through, Jesus knows it and is working it for His good. He is risen. Don't lose heart. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the experience of the Apostle Paul. Father, a man who knew heartache, a man who knew suffering, he knew rejection, he knew physical pain, and yet he exhorts us. He says with confidence that we can push through those things. We cannot lose heart because we know that our Savior is alive. Oh Lord God, I pray that we would be a people who not just give mental, intellectual assent to this morning, but may this be news that permeates our hearts and our lives and our souls. That as we go from this place and as the calendar ticks over to another day and Easter Sunday's over and the celebration of the resurrection is over, that the pondering of the resurrection might never end. And the glory and wonder of what our God has accomplished for us in Jesus Christ might never cease to evoke praise and devotion in our lives. Oh Father, we thank You for this word. Holy Spirit, impress it upon our hearts and our lives for the glory of Your name. In Jesus' name, amen.